Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a look at some really quite fascinating material concerning an individual named Niuka. Our sources really center around a specific page from sttakala.org. You'll find it in their sections on saints and Coptic Orthodox saints biography.
Right.
And right away, you'll notice a pretty significant chunk of this primary source is in a script other than English. Which, honestly, just makes uncovering the story feel a bit more like detective work, you know?
It does. It adds a layer. But it's amazing how much we can often piece together. It's interesting how certain key details are provided in English, almost acting as points of entry.
Exactly, points of entry. So our goal for this deep dive is basically to pull out the essential biographical bits we can find and try to understand, well, what made this figure significant? Just based on what we have here.
Okay, sounds good. A focused exploration.
So let's start with what we can immediately grab. The core, as we said, is this page for Seseshagin on sttakla.org. And helpfully, right there, we're also given an alternative name. Saint Appoli, Son of Justice.
Ah, okay.
It seems, well, highly likely that Sentik and Saint Appoli are indeed the same person. What do you think about giving both names so clearly? Does that maybe hint at, I don't know, different cultural contexts or something?
That's a really good question. Yeah, the dual naming like that often suggests recognition across maybe different linguistic groups or perhaps historical layers of recognition. The English translation, Saint Appoli, Son of Justice, definitely makes the figure more accessible to, well, us, and a wider modern audience.
Makes sense. And the page isn't just text, is it? There's a description of a Coptic icon. The artist is named Imad George.
Right, I saw that.
And this icon, it shows martyr St. Abeli, son of Justice. Slight variation on Justice, maybe. It's from St. Rewise Church in Abbasia, Cairo, Egypt. And it was photographed back in October 2011. The fact that it's an icon, and he's specifically labeled a martyr, what does that immediately signal about the kind of narrative we're likely dealing with here?
Well, the icon itself points straight to this person being venerated, held in high regard, specifically within the Coptic Orthodox tradition. And martyr, of course, tells us we're looking at a story involving profound sacrifice.
Yeah.
Likely giving up one's life for their faith.
Yeah. As we look at the text itself, even with the unfamiliar script, we find these really crucial phrases translated. Like, we're told that Abba was the son of someone whose name translates to justice.
Which connects perfectly with that alternative name, St. Appoli, Son of Justice.
Exactly. It's like we're building a framework piece by piece with these translated bits.
Precisely. These translations act as vital anchors. They let us grasp the core relationships and roles in the story. It shows, I think, some care was taken in presenting this information across languages.
Now, here's a really significant piece that jumps out. The text says quite clearly that Neatus, or Appoli, received the crown of martyrdom. Mm. Now, given the martyr label on the icon, it's not a complete shock, but what does receiving the crown of martyrdom typically mean in a religious context like this?
In many traditions, certainly including Christianity, martyrdom is seen as the ultimate testament of faith. It signifies not just death, but a death accepted willingly because of one's beliefs. It's often framed as a kind of spiritual victory.
A victory. Okay. The text then adds that he was courageous before the governor.
Right.
That really paints a picture, doesn't it? A confrontation with, you know, earthly power. What sort of historical setting does the governor usually point to in these kinds of accounts?
The mention of a governor likely puts this story somewhere within the Roman Empire or a period influenced by it, where religious practices could, and often did, clash with imperial authority. Governors held significant power back then, enforcing decrees, sometimes including those about religion.
Okay. And following that, we learn the governor tried to persuade him with promises.
Ah, the temptation.
Yeah. It strikes me that this is such a common element in stories of martyrs or those facing persecution. Why do you think that part, the offer, the promises, gets included so often?
Well, I think the offer of, you know, rewards or maybe just avoiding punishment serves to really underscore the individual's commitment. It highlights that their choice to stick to their faith was deliberate. It wasn't because they didn't have other options or didn't understand the consequences. It makes their stance more powerful.
Right. It emphasizes the choice, but no, or Appoli, he stayed firm. The text describes his refusal, his clear declaration of faith in Christ. And here's a really potent moment. We get what seems to be a direct quote attributed to him.
Even though it's in the other script.
Exactly. It's in the Coptic script, but the English implication is clearly one of just unshakable belief, you know, putting his faith above absolutely everything else. What can we sort of infer from including that implied direct statement?
even without the precise wording in English. The idea of a strong personal declaration of faith gets right to the heart of why he's remembered. It reveals that inner conviction, the driving force behind his actions, and ultimately his sacrifice.
And the consequence of this unwavering faith. Well, the text says endured various tortures.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't spell out what kind, but just the mention emphasizes the immense suffering involved. It's quite sobering, isn't it? Various tortures. It really highlights the strength required to face that.
It is. And sometimes the lack of specific graphic details allows the focus to remain on the person's resilience and the broader reality of persecution rather than getting lost in, well, the horrific specifics. It keeps the attention on his strength of faith.
And ultimately, despite everything, Saif, or Appley, did receive the crown of martyrdom. This sort of brings the main narrative arc on this page to its conclusion. His death is framed as the ultimate act for his beliefs.
Exactly. In the context of martyrdom stories, death isn't usually presented as just an end. It's often a passage, a final victory, that solidifies their respected place within their religious tradition.
The page also gives us a couple of other useful details. There's a feast day mentioned for him. It's listed as the 10th or 11th of the Coptic month of Abib.
Ah, interesting. A slight uncertainty there.
Yeah, just a little bit. What does having a feast day, even with that minor wobble on the exact date, tell us about his ongoing importance?
The very fact that a feast day exists and is observed, even with maybe slight calendar variations over time, really speaks volumes about the enduring memory and the significance of St. Apolli within the Coptic Orthodox Church. These commemorations keep the story alive generation after generation and aim to inspire people today.
We also see a reference provided. In the English script part, it points us to the term Hersey, and there's a whole section titled Hersia, which seems to list related terms, also likely in Coptic script. These feel like maybe categories or further links within the sttakla.org site itself, like internal cross-references?
Yes, that's very likely. These additional references probably indicate a wider network of information on the site, connecting St. Apolli to perhaps other figures, concepts, or themes within Coptic history and tradition. It suggests the page we're looking at is one piece of a much larger collection of knowledge.
Right, it's not isolated. And finally, just for completeness, we have the URL for the source page. It's https://takla.org. Saints Coptic Orthodox Saints Biography, Coptic Saints Story 8.html.
Got it.
And they also provide a shortened copy link, tac.lapsi6jjsw. So, you know, if you're listening and want to see the original page, maybe explore those other links. Those are the addresses.
And providing those links is great. It really empowers you, the listener, to engage directly with the source and maybe uncover even more context for yourself.
Okay, so to sort of bring it all together from our deep dive into the info on Saint Saroje, who we also know as Saint Apolli, son of Justus, we've really uncovered this compelling story of just unwavering faith.
Definitely.
He stood firm in his Christian beliefs when challenged by a governor, someone who even offered him, you know, incentives, ways out of suffering.
Right. He rejected them.
He did. Despite enduring, as the text says, various tortures, he ultimately received that crown of martyrdom. His courage, his resolute conviction that seems absolutely central to his story, and it's a story still remembered, marked by a feast day in the Coptic calendar.
Absolutely. I mean, this account, even though it's relatively brief on the page, offers a really powerful illustration of faith, of resilience against huge adversity, and, well, the ultimate sacrifice for one's beliefs. These are values that clearly resonate deeply within the tradition that's kept his memory alive.
And that leads us right into our final thought for you to ponder. Reflecting on this glimpse into the life of St. Apolli and this idea of martyrdom as it's presented here, What can we maybe infer about the core values, the deeply held beliefs of the community that has preserved this account for so long?
Mm.
And maybe what other questions does this brief encounter spark for you? Perhaps about the specific historical period or the particular context of his martyrdom, or even just the broader Coptic tradition he belongs to.
It really is a story that invites you to think, doesn't it? About the enduring power of conviction across different times and places.